We're starting a new sermon series this week dealing with purpose and helping you find your purpose. And it's purpose, that's what life, it's what life is all about. And that is what we're going to talk about today. And just so we get level set here, there's a lot of things that we talk about, and it's become apparent lately with some of the questions and some of the conversation I've been having, is that for some of us who have grown up in church and we use some of this terminology and we do some of these things, it becomes kind of old hat to us and we know what's going on. And but for even for some of us who have been around for a long time, if you were to be asked with truth serum flowing through you, you know what I'm saying? And you were asked, what's it mean to serve the Lord? What's your biblical purpose? If you were asked, what's your biblical purpose? You'd say to serve the Lord. And then if you say, well, what's that mean? Sometimes connecting some of these dots on what we know we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to get to, we understand that, but getting to it, the journey there is kind of muddled through and we don't really know the pathway. We don't know how to get there. And there's this famous verse out of Joshua. It's when Joshua's talking to the Israelite nation, and he says, if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, then today choose for yourself who you're going to serve, whether it be the gods that we served, that you served in Egypt or back over on the other side of the river, if it's the gods who, you know, the Amorites who we live around now, who they worship, go for that, all right? And then he makes this very definitive statement about, but for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And he puts his foot down and he says, that's what we're going to do here. All right, so he was telling them we've come to the point here to where we have to ask ourselves, what's our purpose here? What are you going to do? Okay, what's your thoughts? Because I can tell you what we're going to do at my house is serve the Lord. And that's what he's saying there. And for those of us even who have been coming for 89 years or whatever, however old you are, okay, you know where we're supposed to get. But how do we get and understand what my specific purpose is? And that's the pathway, and that's the journey we're going to take over the next several weeks, is getting you to understand on how you can discern and identify what God has planned for you. Now, you can be in a job already. You can be an old person. You can be bald already, all right? And you can still be kind of struggling what your job is. And let me say this to you, okay? God's only going to make your life better. It's not going to be a disruption that just destroys everything. It's going to be an enlightenment to a new kind of life and a new kind of living that you can finally go, ah, this is what living's, what's that song? I've just begun to live. And that's what we're going to sing when you find out what your true biblical purpose is. So today we're going to start very elementary, purpose 101, all right? It's what life's all about. Let's just start from the initial framework, what the Bible tells us on what purpose is. Okay, so we're going to talk in 3 points. We're going to talk about what's the source, what's the preparation you have to make, and what's the reason to seek out the purpose. Are we good? Okay, this is what we're going to do right here, 3 points. But before I get, there's always a but with me, right? Huh? Okay, I got to deviate real quick. I got to stop over at this stop here real quick, because there is an obstacle that we have to identify and get over before we can ever go back to this. You understand? There's an obstacle that stands in every one of our pathway to find out what our true purpose is. You want to know what the answer is? What's the greatest obstacle in your life to figuring out what your biblical purpose is? What's the obstacle in your life stopping you from truly realizing what does God have planned for you to do in this life and to achieve in this life? And here's the answer. It's you. The biggest problem. Now say these words in your head after I say them. The biggest problem in the world and in my life is me. We all clear? I said it too. It's hard to say, isn't it? Amen, brother. It's hard to say. And now, real quick, this is going to be the tough part of the sermon. So if you need to do this or clench your jaw or whatever, get ready. Get ready, because here it comes. We are made with selfish instincts. They're built inside of us. We have this thing called self-preservation to where it's built inside of us to survive. All right? You go out in the woods with your buddy and a bear starts running after you. You're not trying to beat the bear. You're just trying to beat your buddy, right? Isn't that the way we do it? Like, he's getting faster, not the bear, you. All right? There's just this thing built inside of us that helps keeps us alive. Fight or flight, okay? If you get scared, someone jumps out, hey, okay? You naturally jump and defend yourself, okay? One time Kelly scared me. Our kids, we had a spot in our house. It was a perfect hiding spot. You'd be coming around, you know, in the middle of the night, kind of dark, and he'd jump out, scare you to death. And I thought, man, one day I just want to get him. And then the next night I was walking through there, and he jumped out, and in my fight or flight instinct, I punched him in the face. All right, worst mistake I ever made. He found my hiding spot, all right? But the body's just wired this way. So we are actually wired to preserve ourselves. We have a natural instinct inside of ourselves to preserve ourselves. The other one is that we have a selfish perspective. Now here's why I want you, everybody says walk a mile in my shoes, right? Or put yourself in your shoes, put yourself in their shoes. Well, I've told you this story before. There's two guys on different sides of the river working. And one guy yells across to the other side like, hey, how do I get to the other side of the river? And he yells back and says, you're already on the other side of the river. That's how we view things from our perspective. You know, I read psychology books for fun. I'm a blast, aren't I? Huh? And don't you want to party and get down with me? Okay, we can talk about all the experiments I've read about. But there's a household experiment. I'm so thankful Ariane's doing nursery today, all right? But they went through and they surveyed husbands and wives on how much work they do around the house. If you add what they said they did together, you got like an average of 160% of the housework being done around the house. That's true, all right? Because wife said, I do 90% of it. Husband says, I do about 70% of it. You get together, you have 160%. That's not possible, right? If you've been to my house, you know there's not 160% of the housework getting done. It's obvious. But we have a selfish perspective. We overinflate what happens to us. And usually when you have like a blemish or something going on, you think everybody's staring at you. And then when you point it out to someone, they go, oh, I didn't even recognize it. Oh, yeah, I would have never known that if you hadn't pointed it out to me. You're like, why'd I point it out? Okay. But we have a selfish perspective. And then you always get this person who's telling you how they would do what, you know, how they would fix your life. I tell you what I would do now. You wouldn't do that. You'd do just like what I did, all right? But we have a very selfish perspective. We view things that people are going through with our own lens and our own eyesight, all right? And even our emotions are selfish, okay? Empathy. Think about this. If you tell me that someone sawed their arms off, I'm like, oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. I feel sorry for that person, okay? But when I was a little kid, I got my hand slammed in a door of a car. And boy, I can remember what that felt like and those nails turning blue. And then one time we were coming into the garage and Jake had his book bag and everything. He was trying to shut the door and he slammed his hand in the door. And I watched him do it. And I jumped up and we both were doing this as we were screaming. And I was really feeling his pain because I've done that with him. I love him. You know, I was able right there in the moment, put myself in his shoes because I was there with him. Because even my empathy is selfish. And you think about, you know, if I told you today that I lost a really, really good friend, best friend I ever had this week, you would say, oh, that's terrible. And you realize, like, I'm just so depressed right now. I lost my very best friend, died. And then what if I told you it was my pet goldfish? That changes the way you feel about it, right? But what if I told you it was my pet dog? That makes you care even more for some reason, right? It's like Ariane doesn't cry when people die in the movies, but when dogs die in a movie, she squalls. I was like, what's going on there? You show more emotion for the dog than the human. It's all a selfish thing. So our love is selfish. You love me, I love you back. You don't love me, I have trouble loving you. And here's the deal. You can't put yourself, the truth to the situation is that you cannot put yourself in someone's shoes until you have actually walked a mile in those shoes. It's impossible because we're that selfish. So everything surrounding us is selfish. And our motives are selfish. The things that drive us. And it's kind of the way we were raised, right? What do you tell your kids? Come on, be something. If you're going to do it. Get in there. In football, I was always told to put my ears back. I don't know what that means, but it made me tackle someone harder. Put your ears back and go. Okay? And when we do this, and when we see people who respond to that in a very positive way, and they go and they have personal goals and ambitions, and they've got a purpose that they have identified for themselves, what do we say about that person? They're driven. They're motivated. They're successful, right? And that's what we place on them. So even our motives are selfish. But I want to tell you that in order to find God's true purpose for you, the first thing that you have to get past is you. For me to figure out what God wants me to do in my life, I've got to get over the biggest problem in the world, in my world, and that's Aaron Phelps. He's the biggest problem I have because he's always putting his nose in my business. And I need him to get out of the way. And me and Jeff had talked about this and all these baptisms going on. First of all, I need some amens on some baptisms and salvations going on in this church. Amen. That is a hand clap to God, all right? That's a hand clap to God right there. Because every time me and Jeff talk, we say, buddy, let's just keep out of the way. Things are going well. Let's don't get me and you in the middle of it all. We will ruin it. And that's the truth. And when you start thinking about your life and your purpose, you will ruin your own purpose because you'll get in the way. And this is the Vasa. This is can you see it very good? That's a battleship that was built in 1628. It was like the Titanic of battleships when it was built. It was going to destroy everything on the ocean. And there were two carpentry contractors, two shipmakers back in that day, who came together and they made one built one side and the other one was building the other side. And it went up. It was so massive and so big that they had to take those two different contractors and say, you build this side, port side or whichever side, starboard, is that the other thing they call it? You build starboard side and then we'll raise this thing up and then we'll go out and we'll claim the oceans with the Vasa. We'll claim the oceans. So one group was Swedish. The other group was Dutch, and they built this monster, and they put it out on the ocean, and here it was towards its enemies, going to smash them, right? And a halfway big wave comes over, and guess what happens? It tumbles into the ocean. What happened? Well, when they got down to figuring out what happened was the Swedish contractor used a Swedish ruler. I'm not making this up, all right? The Dutch contractor used a Dutch ruler. A Swedish ruler has 12 inches in a foot. A Dutch ruler has 11 inches in a foot. And when they put this thing together, one side was heavier and bigger than the other side. And when the smallest little wave came around, guess what happened? It rolled. So I'm telling you today that unless you get out of the way, we're building a life, and we might as well call it the Vasa. Because God's using one ruler, and we're over here building on our side with the other ruler. And guess what happens when the waves come and the trials hit? What do? We roll and tumble into the ocean. Isn't that right? So I'm telling you that let's all get on the same ruler, get yourself out of the way, and let God tell you what your purpose is. Even if you're already in a job, if you've been through schooling and all that, God's telling you today, I got a purpose for you specifically. So Luke says, and he quotes Jesus Christ himself and says, if anyone desires to come after me, the first thing that you have to do is get rid of yourself. And it's my weekly reminder of what your job is as a Christian each and every morning, to go to the Lord in prayer and say, empty me of me. Get me out of the way. Making more of an impact today, isn't it, huh? And then fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because I'm over here on a ruler that doesn't quite add up to your ruler. And your ruler's better. I want you to build with your ruler. You take over my life and tell me what my purpose is. And you say, well, Aaron, I'm 77 years old. I don't care. If you're still here, God's got a purpose for you. That's why you're still here. So here's the source. That the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are not creatures who have created ourselves. We are created by God himself, handmade by God himself for a specific purpose. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. For by him all things were made, They were created. Everything that you can see that you can't see in heaven and on earth, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created for and by God. God is the source. So if you're dealing with a new source or a different source, or the source is you, it's going to fail. It's not going to live up. And you say, well, I'm living pretty good, my man. Okay, but you're not living the kind of success, spiritual success, that God has planned for your life. Unless you're saved, unless you know Jesus Christ and His love, you can't love your spouse the right kind of way. Unless you know Jesus Christ and His grace and His love, you can't love your kids in the proper way. I said it. Said it to you today, all right? I ain't talking to grandparents here. Can't love appropriately until you have the true source in your life. And you will never realize your true, thing God has planned for you until you realize what God has planned for you. The purpose of your life is God. The source of your life is God. Let Him tell you what He's building. Matthew says, for whoever desires to come after me and tries to save his own life will lose it. But whoever is willing to push their life aside and say, dear Lord, here I am, use me, God will come over and will save his life. In Him we have attained an inheritance. And your life was planned out, predestined, according to His. You see that? Your life was predestined. Before you were ever born, it was figured out according to, not to your purpose, right? But to the purpose of Him. And because of Him, all things work out according to His wisdom for His will, not your wisdom and your will. Because you'll end up in a place, you ever had that Christmas gift? And you think, boy, if I could just get that. Remember when you was a kid, if you could just get that, and then you play with it for 30 minutes, you're like, ah, I don't like this. It's not as good as I thought it was going to be. You ever gotten to that place in your life that you really wanted to get to, and you thought, this isn't quite what I thought it would be like. But I tell you what, when God takes you somewhere for His purpose, according to His will, when you get there, you think, dear Lord, why didn't I get here quicker? So what's the preparation involved? Okay, number one, you need to understand that your life was created with a specific purpose. Jeremiah says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I planned out your life for what I want it to be. And so many of us are fighting that predestined plan that God has for us. We're wanting to build our own lives. To say, you know what, God? I know better than you. I know what's better for me. Now, we don't actually say those words, but in our actions each and every day, we look to God and say, you know what? You're great and all, but I know what's better for me. And this is what, and I'm going to just chase my dreams and go after it myself. And then Psalms 138:16 says, your eyes saw me in my unformed substance. I was, my days, now, isn't this an amazing thought? My days were already written down in the book. My story has already been told before I ever took my first breath. Isn't that amazing? That's the kind of God we serve. And you're sitting here doubting whether it can take care of this or a job or take care of that. And God says, I already wrote your story down in a book 1,000 years before you ever took your first breath. That's how mighty God is. That's how great He is as a source. So the first preparation you need to do is to understand that you were built for a very specific purpose, but it's God's purpose. Number two is you have to live a life going after that purpose. His purpose, not your purpose. The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. Ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, everyone who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. But we have to live a life of obedience, of patience. We have to persevere. Because we want everything now. And I tell you this all the time. I cannot stand when the gas pump won't take my card and I got to actually walk into the gas station. What kind of world are we living in? Huh? And then you ever deal with those hand dryers? You put them there and you're moving, like, what's wrong with it? And then when you move, it comes on. You're like, and then it turns off and you're like, things drive me crazy, you know? Or stand in front of the microwave and watch your food being cooked. Come on. How long's a minute? You know the definition to a minute? There's two definitions, and it depends on what side of the bathroom door you're on. Okay? But, man, we can't wait for anything, and we want it now. We want it now. You know what God says? Keep knocking, and I'll answer you. I'll give you. But be patient. Endure. And I'll open the door, and it'll be something that you never could imagine, the peace and the contentment that you get in the world that I prepare for you. Now, will it be everything that you ever hoped and dreamed of? I don't know. It could be. Probably not. And there's going to be some trials and tribulations all along the way. Even in that life, there's going to be trials and tribulations. We talked about that last week. But God's got a purpose for you. And you know what? Building off what we talked about last week, sometimes our purpose is our disease for a while. I hate to tell you that. Sometimes your trial is your purpose right now. Because there are people looking at you trying to figure out, how do I get through this without just burning the house down or destroying it all? How do I do that? And they're looking at you as their model. And that's the point I tried to make to you last week, is don't waste your trials, don't waste your tribulations, because God can use them. Lazarus, I tell you this all the time, Lazarus' whole purpose in his life, the main purpose in his life was to die. Now think about that. His main purpose in life was to die just so Jesus could bring him back to life. Now I think about that as a little boy, at like 4 years old, when we start asking our kids, what do you want to be when they grow up? I want to be an astronaut. Okay, we'll get you on that moon. Keep working hard. What will you do with a little boy that says, you know what? Your purpose has already been defined. You're going to die. That's going to be the biggest thing you do in your life, is die, so that Jesus Christ can bring you back from the dead. Don't waste your purpose. Keep seeking it. You will find it. Number three, be obedient and patient and disciplined. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor grows weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Why do we look for wisdom in other things in this world? We have an unending source of wisdom. He gives power to the weak. If you're weak today, if you feel weak, Jesus gives you power. To those who have no might, he increases the strength. Even young people fall down and grow weary, and young men will utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord for his blessings, they will mount up on wings like eagles, and they shall run and never grow weary. They should walk and not grow faint. If you're inside God's will, you're going to live a life where you're mount up on wings of eagles. But you have to wait upon the Lord. You have to live a life of obedience, patience, and be disciplined in understanding what his purpose is. And number four, endure. You have to live a life of endurance. You can't give up every 3 days. You can't call it quits when it doesn't happen the fourth day. That's the one thing I hate about exercise. I went to the gym, spent a whole hour there, and I'm still not in shape. What in the world? But that's how we are, right? Dear Lord, I've been praying to you for a whole week. What in the world? I talked to a mom today, thankful that all the prayers in her lifetime had turned her son around finally. Prayers of a mama, right? Wow. Thank God all of us had moms and grandmas who got down on their hands and knees and prayed for us and never gave up. Their prayers were enduring. It's time for us to live lives that endure, that reflect Jesus Christ. And now we come to the reason. What's the reason to find God's purpose? What will be the reason of the purpose of my life? You got to give me a reason, right? What's the reason? You know the reason. I preach about it all the time. I'm going to preach about it till God takes me from this earth. The reason is love. The reason is love. Okay? And it says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Why did Jesus Christ come on this earth to die? So he could be raised again. He could raise himself from the dead, defeat death. wash away our sins and give us a pathway into heaven. What's the purpose? What would make someone do that? What would make someone give up their rights as God? Give up their rights and say, you know what? I'm going to let humble, mean men put me to death. I'm going to give my life up. And I'm going to die the worst kind of death known to man at that time. What would make someone do that? The answer is, for God so loved the world. That's how much he loves every one of us. And you know what God says? If I can love you this much, can't you try to love your neighbor, your brother? So I'm telling you today that the purpose is love. Now, it may be a different kind of form of occupation. It may be a different kind of form of mission. You may be out in front or in the back or somewhere in between or whatever. But God's calling you for a great big purpose. And I can tell you that the source is God. There's going to be a lot of preparation on your part. But the reason to do it all is because God loved you so much that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And if you can accept that kind of love, then we need to be willing to ask God to help us love each other. In fact, he says, a commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that as you love one another, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, because you have love for one another. The reason to do all this is love. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We gave you a quick overview today of purpose, what it means in your life. But I want you to put your heads down, bow your heads down today. Close your eyes. And I want you to ask yourself, am I in a place right now in my spiritual life where I can go out and truly know and understand what God's purpose for my life is? And if you're not in a spiritual state right now where you can say, I can go out and I can find out what my purpose is, and God tells me what my purpose is, I can understand it, then you need to come down and let's get level set today. Let's ask God, do the work inside of me so that I know and understand what my purpose is. Help me to be the kind of person who can do that work of preparation that the Bible just laid out for us. And you know what? Here's the deal. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can't take the first step until you accept Him as your Savior. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you truly have never loved or been loved, because you don't understand love until you get Jesus Christ and His love living in your heart. It's impossible. So I'm begging you today, if you don't know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ is your eternal Savior, don't waste another day. We only get so many opportunities in this world. We're not promised one more breath. So I'm pleading with you today, step out of this church house today knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and that you can go after the purpose that He has defined for your life. And you can do it with all accounts settled, knowing that the source is there in the right part. And you understand, and truly I can't identify what that reason is. So I'm begging you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt, come down and let's get it going today. Don't leave this church house without knowing for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. I'm going to open up the altars to you this morning.